One thing is we'll do this morning is do some chanting. So there is some sheets at the front table. So I don't know. Is there anyone who hasn't gotten, say, this homage to the Buddha sheet? Anyone else? We could... So who is here, say, doing a one-day or weekend retreat for the first time with VIMS or at Goward House? Okay. All right. Welcome. Welcome. And... So the theme for the day is joy, or happiness, or the various aspects of anywhere from contentedness to happiness to joy. This is something the Buddha talked about. And isn't it nice to know that Buddha didn't just talk about suffering, but he also talked about joy, so joy on the path, joy as a factor of awakening. And that's the theme for today. And I'll draw on the teachings of the Buddha from the what's called the Pali Canon, which are the as close as can be the original teachings of the Buddha, as well as from some current Buddhist teachers and teachers from other wisdom traditions as well. So one of those teachers is a First Nations author, Richard Wagamese. So I think it appropriate just to acknowledge that we gather and sit here on retreat on the traditional territory of the Saanich, Esquimalt, and Songhees peoples, who have a historical and deep relationship to this land. So you may be... have come here a little bit skeptical about the possibility of joy in your life, especially if you've read the news recently. So I would just encourage you to be open to this possibility as we go through the day, and just keeping an open mind. We will, in general, be in silence today. I mean, I'm talking, but I encourage you to maintain silence, say, during the walking periods. And if you, say, at lunchtime, if you want to chat with your friend, then just go for a walk and get caught up with your friend. But what I'd like to do is just to start, because you're going to be sitting with, you know, neighbors and stuff, is just to take a few minutes and introduce yourself to three or four people around you. See if you can find someone who maybe you haven't talked with before, but just turn around and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and so.
Yeah.
Ah, well, that's a kind of a nice sound, some smiles, and kind of sounds like a cocktail party or something. one thing I'm going to invite you to do today is to do some chanting. And we're going to start with a traditional way of kind of starting a practice period, and with what's called refuges and precepts. So if you can find the piece of paper that says homage to the Buddha at the top of it, and it's an invitation, you can chant if you like. I invite you to give it a try. Some of you are familiar with these chants. It'll be new to others. There's a fair bit of repetition. There's not really a wrong way to do this, but I'll start. And we'll just pause before we get to the five precepts, and I'll just kind of set that up. So just join in as you like. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. So now for the five precepts, I'll chant the Pali, the first line, and then maybe we could just repeat the English together. So these are five suggestions that the Buddha gave for living a more contented, peaceful, non-harming life. So I'll chant the first line, and then we'll just repeat the line in English below it. Panyatipata veramani sikapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures. Adinadana veramani sikapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. Kamesu michachara veramani sikapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. Musawada veramani sikapadam samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from incoherent speech. Suramereya maja pamadatana veramani sikapadam samadhyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs which lead to carelessness. So the five precepts are just suggestions that the Buddha gave to lay people. We could think of ourselves as, say, guests of Goward House, and this makes us better house guests. I recall Steve Armstrong was here teaching about a month ago, and he was referring to these precepts and just making the comment that if you went to your newspaper or your whatever news feed, you could kind of tick off all the in the harmful news that we receive, all the different precepts that are being broken. So I suppose we are going against the stream. And the way I see them is it's an intention of non-harming. And one interesting thing I've heard say from someone like a teacher Ajahn Sona is that on the surface these are about non-harming others, and that's true. But the other part of this, it's about non-harming ourselves and our own minds and not creating patterns and habits that are harmful to ourselves or to others. So one question I'd like us to just reflect on throughout the day is, and it's just a question, we don't have to immediately answer it, but just to reflect on this question of, can we feel joy regardless of conditions? So one thing I'll invite folks to do is kind of set up an altar table over here. And there's a Kuan Yin statue with the flowers in the middle. And there's some pieces of paper and pens there. And what I'm going to invite you to do is, if you can think of someone who may be suffering, you could write their name down. You could think of someone who is happy, joyful. You could also write their name down and leave it on the altar. The other thing you could think about is there someone who inspires you as well? So you could write their name down. And if you find a particularly beautiful leaf outside as you're wandering around, you can put that as well. So this will be kind of an altar to all the different things that we can experience in our lives, that which include difficulties as well as joyful conditions. When I was thinking about this topic, the Buddha talked about things like happiness, or so you might have heard, you know, the Buddha talked about suffering, which is dukkha in Pali, but he also talked about sukha, which is happiness, and another word in Pali is piti, which is kind of bliss. So just in general, calling these things happiness and joy, or even contentedness. he talked about them in different ways and in different teachings. So I was just wondering about how to frame these different teachings, and even from other wisdom traditions. And so how I'm going to suggest we frame that comes from a teaching that you may or may not have heard of from the Buddha. And it's a teaching he gave to some people in a town, and the people were called the Kalama's people. And in the West, this is kind of a frequently cited teaching, and one that kind of appeals to folks from the West. So the Buddha, in his way, he taught for 45 years, and he traveled around northeastern India, meeting different people. And he was approaching this town, and some people from the town came out to meet him. And it seemed like, from how it's related, they kind of knew the Buddha from his reputation. And so they came up to him and started conversing, and they said to the Buddha, said, you know, we've got quite a few different people come through, different teachers, and they tell us what kind of their teaching is, and they will generally say, and this is true, and what everybody else says is false. And then the next person will come, they'll say something different, and they'll say, this is true, and whatever everybody else says is false, and you know, and so on and so on. So it leaves us feeling pretty confused. So would you please give us your teachings? So the Buddha didn't directly answer that question. He first said something I think is very skillful. Well, first he said, you know, don't believe something just because someone has said it, or a teacher has said it, or it's in a scripture, or and he gives a number of different examples of, you know, you don't have to believe whatever you come across, and in this case, all these different teachers who have come through. But believe something because you know it for yourself. Now, I think often in the West, people stop reading at that point, and they kind of think, oh, okay, well, I can kind of believe whatever I want. But the Buddha actually goes on in his in this conversation that's related with the Kalama people. But he doesn't actually answer the question directly. He uses a different method. He actually starts to ask them questions. And I think he's going to see if they can answer their own question. So he asked the Kalamas, what do you think, Kalamas? When greed or anger or delusion arise in a person, is it for their own welfare or is it for their harm? And the Kalamas respond, well, it's for their harm. And then he goes on to say, well, what do you think, Kalamas, when generosity, so he's going to now give the opposites to greed or anger or delusion. What do you think, Kalamas, when generosity, loving kindness, or wisdom arise in a person, is it for their welfare or harm? And the Kalamas respond, well, it's for their welfare. And he actually has also talks about actions coming out of those qualities. So he's switched the focus from views and opinions and beliefs to actions now. And actions include our thoughts, our speech, and other actions. So then the Buddha tells the Kalamas, so when you know for yourself these things are wholesome, so say with generosity or loving kindness, or wisdom. When you know for yourselves these things are wholesome, these things are blameless, these things are praised by the wise, these things, if undertaken and practiced, lead to welfare and happiness, then you should engage in them. So in short, we see for ourselves what thought, speech, and actions lead to our well-being and to the well-being of others. And our intention becomes to act in ways that are beneficial. So that's kind of the frame that I would like to suggest that we consider these teachings on, different teachings on joy. This is a so then we can think about our intention. The intention of folks here was showed up for a day, and the title of the theme of the day was something to do with joy. So I think we can think that folks are open to considering this as a possibility. And an intention of non-harm or metta or non-cruelty, compassion and goodwill, generosity, wisdom are actions that lead us towards awakening and towards happiness. So I'd like to settle in to meditation. It'll be about half an hour. And so just kind of settle in to as comfortable a position as you can. If at any point, if it is something you'd like to do, you can stand and meditate. And we're settling in, so we won't feel joy apart from the present moment. So we're settling into the present of being here. I'm just going to make a quote from Richard Wagamese as we settle in. You can turn them off. I'll just read the quote, and then you can turn them off for the lights off for the duration of the sit. All we have are moments. This is from Richard Wagamese. This is a book called Embers, One Ojibwe's Meditations. And the last section of the book is on joy. So from Richard Wagamese, all we have are moments. So live them as though not one can be wasted. Inhabit them, fill them with the light of your best good intention. Honor them with your full presence. Find the joy, the calm, the assuredness that allows the hours and the days to take care of themselves. If we can do that, we will have lived. So we settle in, and I'm going to lead a guided meditation which you can follow if you like. And this is from Ajahn Jeff. And it's where we're paying attention to the breath in different ways. So settle in. Just have a balance of alertness, yet relaxation in the body as best we can. Spine upright. So alert and relaxed. T- take a few breaths just a little deeper than we would normally breathe, just to find the breath. And if you can, just breathe in a way that is pleasant, that promotes this calm yet alert, and I'm just going to name different areas of the body that we can imagine we're breathing into with this kind of pleasant energy, and we can kind of work with the breath. So just imagine now, we're using the imagination, imagine we're breathing into the lower belly. Breathing in a way that is pleasant. Moving the attention up to the solar plexus, just below the rib cage. Now imagine we're breathing in to that area. And see if we can breathe in a way that is pleasant. Shifting the attention to the heart area. Now breathe into the heart. Just imagine our breath, this pleasant breath energy. Breathing in and out of the heart area. Now move the attention to the throat area. Feeling this relaxed, pleasant energy in the throat. Just using our imagination that we're breathing into that area. Now bring the attention up to the head, even the middle of the head. That imagine the head is more porous and we can breathe in and out, even through the pores into the head and out through the pores. Just a light air energy. Now imagine, using the imagination, that we're breathing in at the back of the neck and the breath energy is flowing down our arms to our hands and out through our arms and hands. So breathing in through the back of the neck, this light, airy energy moving down the arms to the hands, then out through the arms and hands. Now breathing in the back of the neck. Imagine this breath energy moving down the spine to the base of the spine. Then as we breathe out, we can breathe out from the spine and the base of the spine. It's pleasant energy. And just breathing in a way that is pleasant. And then breathing in through the base of the spine, using one's imagination. Imagine this breath energy is moving down the legs to the feet, and then breathing out through the legs and the feet. So in at the base of the spine, down the legs, out through the legs and the feet. Breathing in a way that promotes this pleasant sensation. And now you can just choose a place in your body which actually feels okay, and just imagine we're breathing just for the duration of this meditation into that area. If there's any way you can expand that pleasant sensation, then that's a good thing to do. But keep breathing in a way that is pleasant, and just see if we can notice any pleasant sensations in the body. So we'll have a walking period of half an hour now, and I guess there'll be someone who ring a bell maybe 5 minutes before we meet again. Yeah. So now's the time if you want to have a drink or the washroom. But we don't really take a break from our awareness. Try to just be aware all the time of walking or whatever we're doing. If you're new to meditation and would like to, I suggest we could meet in this theater area over here during this period, or if you have a question. So feel free to come to that if you would like during this walking period. And I'm just going to share something that a friend wrote and was sharing with some Dharma friends. And just to maybe we could keep this kind of attitude in mind. Greetings, everyone. I had a wonderful moment today I would like to share with you all. I came home from work a bit earlier than expected today due to supply issues at the work site. It was a gorgeous day, the sun shining, not a cloud in the sky. I got out of the car, a very gentle breeze touching my face. No sounds to disturb. The trees and grass seemed to be shining. I just stood there soaking it in, an amazing sense of peace, beauty, and well-being. Then a thought gently filtered in. Is this sense of peace in the sunshine? Is it in the trees, or is it in the silence? The answer came back, no, it's not in any of those things. It's in my own heart and mind. And of course, if I'm feeling not so peaceful, that also just comes from the heart and mind. What a blessing to know where our problem and salvation lie, not out there, anywhere, in any situation, but in our very own fathom-long body. Anyway, it was a nice message to receive and a nice reminder. Maybe we could keep that in mind as we are going about whatever we're doing. All right. So.